Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome this Friday evening. In today's message, Bishop Dag will encourage you to develop the art of believing without seeing, and he will teach you why God doesn't heal everyone. Scripture says it's an evil generation who seeks a sign, so there is a special blessing for people who live by faith and believe without seeing. Find out in today's teaching what God has chosen to transform and change Christians through, rather than relying on the miraculous alone to demonstrate the power of God. Be blessed by today's word.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here? Lift your hands and thank God for tonight. Father, thank you for your blessing. Tonight, as we come before your word, your holy word, we are thanking you and we are blessing you. And Lord, we are asking that you touch our lives tonight and heal us and bless us. Oh, hallelujah. Just thank Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Mambolomore shindele bene mekemena. Palondo borolomoni le semene. Mandolo borolomoni nene. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Father, thank you. It is well with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Right. Why God does not heal everyone. That is my topic tonight. Why God does not heal everyone. Amen. Number one. Because many people believe in the word of God without seeing miracles. Amen. Amen. Many people believe without having to see miracles. In fact, I dare say more believe without seeing miracles. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 29. Have you found it? It says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. So, there are going to be many of us who are going to believe even without seeing miracles. Amen. Amen. Not everybody needs to see a miracle to get converted. Paul said to the Greeks, we gave wisdom, and to the Jews, they required a sign. And everybody has what turns him on. Some people like blue paint in their houses. You need some houses inside is blue. Some have red. Have you seen such a house before? The paint is red, and then they put on a red light, and the whole room is red. Have you seen that before? It makes them excited. That's why their house is deep red with a red bar. But some people are even turned off by such things. Now, there is a special blessing. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Now, there is a special blessing for those of us who do not see but yet believe in God. How many of us realize that there are many things we will not see? When Jesus rose from the dead, all right? Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
He rose from the dead. There were 12 apostles. Supposing all the 12 apostles came to the tomb, all 12 would have seen him, isn't it? How many more could come there? Because he's only rising from the dead at a particular time in the morning. Do you get it? So how many can 5,000 people come? Okay, let's say 100,000 people come to the grave. Fine. Still, those of us who are born a year later or the next day or those who are under age, we wouldn't understand it. Do you get it? So what it means is the vast majority are going to have to believe without seeing. The vast majority, because the rising from the dead is on a particular day. Supposing the whole of Jerusalem and everybody in the world, even alive, should come there, which is not possible. To come to the grave and see that Jesus is not there, still it remained, those who were 5 years and below, 10 years and below, they wouldn't understand it. And all those of us who've been born after, we will not be there because he's risen. He can't come every few weeks to rise from the dead so that you can see. You understand? So what I'm saying is that when somebody has a vision, usually the vision is not just for him, but for him and for a whole lot of people who cannot have the privilege of seeing that vision. And that's why books are written. That's why John was asked to write his book. He said, the things that you see, write and send to the churches. So that is why visions are written. And when you realize that you are in the category of those who have to believe without seeing, which is most of us, you must flow as though you have seen.
Amen.
Amen. Now think about Thomas. It's because he was one of the 12 and Jesus was making a few appearances to his disciples. Do you get it? That's why he had that extra privilege of Jesus coming and say, touch here, this and that. But how many of us who have been born in the 1,900 to 2,000 years after Jesus Christ died on the cross can ever see? So, brothers and sisters, most people are going to believe without seeing miracles. And blessed, there is a special blessing for people who believe without seeing. Amen?
Amen.
And you're going to have to develop the art of believing without seeing if you are going to do well. Otherwise, you are going to miss out on most of the blessings. Because he said, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. Blessed are those who have not seen but believe. For instance, when you give an offering, how do you know that we use it well? Think about it. How many of you can count it? Supposing we agree that half the church should count the offering every Sunday. On Sunday, the first three columns should count. So we all go as a crowd. Then we'll pass one coin like this. When it preaches, you count how many 20 pesos came, how many tens, we pass it in there.
role like that. I mean, what are we doing? So we are checking the offering. Now, how many of us can go to the bank to go and pay in the money? Think about it. 100 of us. When we go to the bank, 100 people, they will say an army has come to come and steal something from the bank or to bomb the bank. Do you understand? So the majority of you are going to have to believe that when the offering was given, it's not something that I took to my house to go and do anything with. Majority. Just a few people can count it, and a few people can be involved with the bank. Now, when it comes to the spending, equally a few number of people have to actually, can actually use the money or dissipate it. Can we all go? So we are all going to see Philly, Philly for ourselves. Oh. So what I'm trying to say is that then if that is the case, then you can't even be in a church. So now immediately a blessing that you would have had by being in a church, you don't have. You can't be in a church. You can't trust anybody. You can't do anything. Almost every spiritual blessing cannot come to you because you don't see. And the Bible says, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. Now, the person whom Jesus chose to see him rising from the dead was Mary Magdalene. Period. You are not Mary Magdalene, and I'm not Mary Magdalene. We have to accept what she said. Now, if you don't accept what she said, we cannot even be saved. That's why he says, blessed are those that have not seen and not yet believe. That is why this is the first reason to let you know why God does not bother to do miracles sometimes. Because it is not the miracle per se that people are going to be saved by. Because a lot of people will never see miracles. Let me tell you, I never saw miracles in my life. The first time I saw miracles, a miracle ever in my life that I saw a miracle was when T.L. Osborne came to Ghana. And I think I was a student at Legon. Were we at Legon? Yeah. That's the first time that I ever saw. And the second time that I saw miracles, I mean, in terms of life, I think I saw in a church somewhere, somebody was having a miracle or miracle service, or I started to have miracle services myself. That's when I started to see miracles. What you see, like on Sunday, people are testifying, I could not see, I can see, I could not hear, I can hear. I have not seen, so it wasn't something we go to church and see. But I believe, I've been a believer. And visions, visions. I'm still waiting for certain kind of visions. What do you think? I don't know how many visions you have seen. To see a vision is a special gift from God. Yeah. To someone who has visions and dreams, it's a special, not all of us, a few of us will have it. So are you going to exclude yourself from most of the blessings of God because you've not seen a miracle? Not seen something supernatural? You are excluded? Then you are excluded from the majority. Yeah. The majority of God's things, you will be out. Yeah. So don't, you know, the chapter actually says why God does not bother. Not what you do. Why God does not bother to heal everyone. Because many have to believe without seeing miracles in order to get the blessings. Amen. Number two, because some people, not everyone, believes when they see miracles. You see, When people see miracles, half may believe that it's God's power. Half may believe that they are lying. Or half may think, are you sure? Or half will think, but you are just standing here, you say you are healed. I've been praying for people for miracles for some time. Sometimes it's my own pastors who have more doubt than the people in the congregation. It's true. You see, when you go and preach, it's the pastors who form the circle of intimidation anywhere. You can see from their attitudes and from their faces, it's like they are the old dons in the church. They know everything about the church. They know everything about God. It's true. One day I went to a certain church to preach. And when I finished preaching, I just started going into miracles. I decided to pray for the sick. So I prayed for the sick. And I called for some people who were healed to come forward. So some people came. You know, in all my miracle times, I've not seen some miracles like that. Hallelujah. But while these fantastic miracles were going on, not everybody believes, you see, when they see miracles. There was a guy who came forward. He said, look, I was a stammerer. Stammerer. He said, when I speak, I have to hit myself like this in order to speak. And God has loosened my tongue. I'm speaking. Look at me. He said, look at me. I'm speaking. So I was so amazed, and I was so, wow, God is doing something. So I turned around to see my host, pastors. They were having some discussion. Like, look, we have to close the service and have nothing. So when I turned around and I saw them, I was discouraged immediately. And I said, let me close the service before this becomes the last time I'm invited to this church. That's why God does not bother. In John 11, verse 45, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, the Bible says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary, not all, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. So many of the Jews believed, but not all of them believed. For by somebody who has been raised from the dead after 4 days, some said he was sleeping. Some said, I've heard of this happening before. Someone said, oh, my uncle, it happened to my auntie. He was sleeping in the grave. After 3 days, he came out. So suddenly, a miracle has been mulliganized into nothing. One day, I went somewhere, and I met a certain man who knew Benny Hinn well, better than I did. And he said to me, Benny Hinn has had to hire a lawyer to defend himself full time, to defend himself from people who are trying to take him to court, saying that his miracles are not miracles, to the extent that he has to employ a full-time lawyer in America. Do you understand what I mean by full-time? That means he works every day, his job every day, fighting. Because people see miracles. You see people on television. I can see. Well, I couldn't know. I couldn't. I'm healed. I'm not. No. It's lying. You get it? These people exist. And there are a lot of skeptics out there. And they cut themselves off from the blessings of the Lord. That's why God does not bother to impress people. Because even when he does the most fantastic thing, you still have people who do not believe. Amen. Amen. Number three. So number two is that some people believe when they see, not all. And then number three is that some people do not believe. They do not believe in miracles. They do not believe in miracles. No matter the miracle, they do not believe it. I don't believe. You say a vision, I don't believe. I saw no. And John chapter 12, verse 37, the Bible says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Do you see why God does not bother? Though he had done, John chapter 12, verse 37, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Huh? So if I come and I do all my signs and I wonders and you don't believe, why should I bother to come and waste my time? Because you would have thought that the more dead people I raise, the more the whole world will follow me. It's not true. That is why there are churches where there is no miracle, but the church is large. Because miracles or no miracles, people are saved by believing. And in spite of, you would have thought that where there is a church where there are miracles, that would be the largest church. You would have thought that Benny Hill would have had the largest church, but he doesn't. He can have the largest crusade, but not the largest church. Yeah. Number four. So you see that verse. For though he had done so many miracles in their lives, yet they believed not. Number four. Some people even hate you when they see miracles. They actually hate you for the miracles. And John chapter 15, verse 24, says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. They have both seen and hated me and my Father. Is it not amazing that people will hate you? You know what? One day I wrote a book and I was dealing with some publishers. And I thought to myself, let me, they were telling me, if I can get some important person to write a foreword or recommendation on the book. Then they said, but not certain people. Mercy. And I said, "Not what do you mean by not certain people?" They said, well, somebody like Benny Hinn. Not Benny Hinn on your book. I was surprised. Yeah, he said, the only name he mentioned is not Benny Hinn. He said it will affect your book. Now, you see, you'll find out that Benny Hinn, you see, when people do miracles, you would think that, oh, the whole world loves him. But a lot of people hate you because they can't understand you. They can't explain you and they can't put you in a box. And you don't fit into their categorization and their computer. You'll be surprised. Recently, I went to a certain country for a certain meeting. And whilst we were having this meeting, there were some people who were inviting us to come for a big program there. So, the host of that country, he said, if you want to come and have this program here, we will choose the kind of preachers that our people can understand. So, they talked for a long time. Then I had remembered that particular remark. So when he finished, I said, who are the kind of people that your people understand in this country? Because it was a country, white people. So then I asked him, I said, would they understand Bonke? He said, exactly, Bonky is the person we don't want here. I said, Bonky is a German. He said, he's exactly the person that I was thinking that we don't want him here at all. Yeah. Is it not fantastic? Is it not super fantastic? He says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man... Think about the works that somebody like Benny Hinn or Bonke have done amongst you. Then they had not seen. But now, they have both seen and hated both me and my father. Anytime you are successful, even being successful, you are hated anyway. How many know that success brings hatred? Huh? You don't have to do anything wrong to be hated. When everybody likes you, you are a fool. You can write that down. I'm telling you, if everybody likes you, you are a fool. It means you are a dramatist and a puppet who is just playing to the song of everybody, trying to look nice to everybody and make everybody like you. How can everybody like you? You alone. Who are you? God. Even God, everybody doesn't like him. A lot of people hate the Father and then they hate Jesus. And you, everybody likes you. That means that you are better than God. You are nicer than God. If you want to please everyone and everyone to like you. But by the way, when you have that particular character, you don't know it all. So ask your best friend, am I like that? If your best friend is sitting by, ask you, Charlie, is that how I am? Am I like everybody should like me type of person? If your best friend is not sitting, you take your phone and then send a text right now. I'll wait for you right now. Send a text to your friend. Ask you, am I the type that you think I'm the type that like, wants everybody to like me? You won't send a text. Okay, be there. I said you should send a text. You won't send a text. Okay. Oh, you don't have mobile phones. So now there, everybody. How many have got a mobile phone? Raise your hand. Most of you have two phones, three phones. Okay. All right. Good. They have both seen and hated me. One Sunday evening, I received a telephone call from a certain pastor. And this pastor was so worried. I said, what is it? He said, have you seen? I said, what? He said, have you seen? I said, seen what? Have you seen the television? I said, what in the television? I'm in church today, Sunday. I haven't gone home. He said, it is too bad. I said, what is too bad? He said, the television program that they have brought about Benny Hinn and Bonke on CNN or one of those things. I said, what is it? He said, it's too bad. You know, that was the time Benny Hinn was going to South Africa. The time he was supposed to come here, around that time. He said, they have put about 1 hour's program about how these two people are false. This is amazing. Isn't it fantastic? But you see, God, when his power is flowing, you will find out that not everybody even loves you because they see the dead race. When they see the dead race, they'll turn around. He wasn't dead. Yeah. Many years ago, a friend of mine's father died in Dansoman. And they came to call me from Osu to go and raise him from the dead. When they called me on the phone, I said, come, we go. So they came to my house, two of them, and I sat at the back. It was a Benz. And drove me to Dansoman to raise the dead. Hey. And I knew based on scripture, especially Matthew 10:5. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give. It's a command, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give. It's a command. I said, God has commanded me to raise the dead. So when I arrived and I saw the dead man lying there with his hands tied, with a big white plaster on his chest, and they had written his name. They were about to take him to the mortuary. I told the nurse, because when Jesus came to Jairus' house, he asked the people who were crying to go out. I said to the nurses, out. Yeah, I said, out. Amen. And I struggled with this guy for some time, and he was not rising from the dead. So after some time, I remembered when Peter and John went to the temple and they saw the crippled man at the gate. And Peter took him by the hand and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. So I told my colleagues, I said, untie his hands. Because his hands were tied. All the time I'd been raising him from the dead, his hands had been tied. But now I was moving to the next level, where the hands have to be untied. So I said, untie the hands. And I asked them to untie the hands. So I started, in the name of Jesus. Well, what can I write? I said, pray. I told them, pray, pray. You may laugh at me. You may laugh at me. But I've seen somebody testify that he has risen from the dead. But anyway, that day, as we were raising, right, he would just sleep back, right, sleep back, right. I think he died of cancer or something. I don't know what he died of. He never rose, and the nurses came to bang on the door to open. I said, look, these people have no faith. Let's go to the house. And then we went. But you see, I was very disappointed that the Lord did not rise. And actually, we continued to plan to visit the mortuary, because we had planned to go and do it at the mortuary, because it had not succeeded in the hospital. No, we had a lot of faith. But you see, I did not understand what I am sharing. This is one of my favorite subjects. I can get more people healed preaching about why people are not healed. Yeah. I can get more people experiencing miracles by preaching why people are not. What I'm preaching to you is why God does not bother. Then the next one after that is understanding why. Understanding, there's more understanding as to why some people are not healed. But this, why God doesn't bother, sometimes he doesn't even raise his finger. Because that is not what necessarily he needs to do at the time. Amen. And that you will be surprised that doing that miracle will rather make people hate you rather than make people come to your church. One day, I met a pastor who had experienced what I have been praying for all these years. How many know what I've been praying for years? Who knows? Stand up and tell me. To see Jesus and what? To discuss. Have not just to see his favor, have discussion. One-on-one discussion. But one day, I met a pastor who had told me, to my surprise, said, you know that I've seen Jesus? Huh? His church was very small. His church was very small. His church was not growing. His church was not working. So I was looking at the church. I said, somebody who has seen Jesus before and the church is not growing. The church is not working. And I realized that seeing Jesus may not be the secret to getting certain things that you think you may need. Because you think that if I see Jesus, if I have the dead raised, if I blind eyes see this and that and that. On Sunday, we saw the blind eyes open. Is this church full today? Sunday night, Sunday night, we were standing here. We were standing here. Somebody said that since I was born, congenital, is it deafness or blindness? Congenital deafness, blindness. People are standing here. Is the church full today? Look at the balconies. Are there people in the balconies? You wonder why God doesn't bother. I can do my checker style like this. You will not be impressed. I can dance like this. It doesn't move you. I tell you. So you see, sometimes you get worried. You know, you think that God has to, he has to do what? He has to show a vision, he has to do this, he has to, if he doesn't then it means that he's not. It means what? You are new. That is why you think that it means something. Me, when the dead didn't rise, I said, Lord, me, I'm not ashamed of you. I don't know why. Even at that time, I didn't know why, but I still had faith. Yeah. About 2 weeks later, they came to inform me that a certain child has died at Labadi. Yeah! Actually, me and my friend were looking for lepers. Because we wanted to cleanse lepers. And that is how come I got to know that there were lepers at Makati Hill. Because we were looking for lepers to go and cleanse. Because Jesus has said, cleanse the lepers and raise the dead. It's a command. Amen. So God doesn't bother. Because you would think that the whole world will come believing. Some will even hate you for the miracles. Number 5. People require different things to help them believe in God. People need different things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. The Bible says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You get it? If you are Greek, the Greek type, what you need is wisdom. If you are the Jewish type, what you need is signs. Now, even in Ghana, we have the Jewish Ghanaians. How many know that there are Jewish Ghanaians? Now, if you are a pastor of a Jewish Ghanaian congregation, you need to flow in signs and wonders. Which type of people like signs? Ashanti people. If you watch Metro TV, you see Bishop Obinim. Have you seen that guy? And Prophet One. He wears a hat. Bishop Obinim, his number is 0246, another 46, 56, 56. That's his number. Hey! And those guys, as for me, I enjoy them every Saturday. It is nice to watch them. And their church, you see, one day I was going for a crusade in the north, And we passed that road. And we came to that prophet. Either prophet one or Bishop Obinim. So I said, oh, let's pass there to see. In the morning, weekday, the Jews had gathered for signs and wonders. Yeah. Jewish Christians, Ghanaians. Their whole church was full. I tell you, I stood outside for a long time. I said, now, so can I learn why? Me say, miracles. I tell you. 0246. Another 46. 56. 56. Hey! So you see, if you are a pastor of such people, you see, they need, it's not that, let's say they are some way. That's what they need. That's what they that's what. That's what they receive. They require it. You need to minister like that. Yeah, yeah. You need to minister like that. Yes. And you see, if I came to church wearing such a hat, with dark glasses and preaching, huh? He also has a walking stick. You would think that I'm joking. But that guy is not joking. Ah! When you see him preaching, not a small thing. Catching of witches. Huh? They catch witches on television. Live. 0246. Another 46. 56. 56. That's his number. If you like, after church, ring him and say he's there. Now, such people, you cannot easily send them as missionaries. These Jewish Christians. You get it? My ministry does not involve, I'm sending missionaries to the world. If you come, you find out that it's not a sign. We have some signs and wonders and so on, but it's not what the people that I'm leading require to follow. But you see, some people, they need it. Hey, they need it. They want it. And there are some people, I wouldn't bring them here to minister. Because there are some of you are so gullible. If a prophet stands here and says, this one, come. I'm seeing something. Somebody in the church is not allowing you to go forward. See me after. My number is 0246. Another 46. 56. 56. See me after church. Because you live off such things, so such things can be used to draw you. For instance, if I bring you red meat with blood, raw meat, and I say to you, come, will you come?
No.
Like, it is not what you need. It's a dog or a wolf or a lion or a bear or some other animal like that that needs that red blood meat like lions. But you don't need that to live. If it is fried or it is turned into bangku, something, okra, whatever, then, and I say to you, I will see that you start running and coming for it. Is it not true? Yeah. So it's what everybody requires. If you go to a lion and say, I'm coming to feed the lion, you bring grass, a lot of grass, and you come and put it in the thing. It does not require grass. My father had horses. We had to go and cut grass at Insawam every day. Come and cut the grass and bring it. When the horses see grass has come. They require grass. Others require meat. Others require different things. The Greeks require wisdom. So the type of people, and I tell you, some places, that's all that they require. And if you are going to minister there, you better learn it, how to do it. A certain prophet, he came to a church like this, and he prophesied the assistant pastor and most of the assistants and a large section of the congregation out of the church. Yeah. He said, I see something. Stand up, you. Something called greater works. Greater works. I hear the word greater. Greater works. God has some greater works. Take it. What? Lift your hand. Receive it. 0247. No, mine is 0247. Another 47. 88. Ah! Three people here. Three people here are moving to higher dimensions. I hear the word higher dimensions. Somebody here. You see, this is what some people, they need to smell their blood. It's like if you go and swim in the sea and you don't have a cut on you, a shark will not bite you. But when you are cut and blood starts to come, the shark smells it from far and starts to move in the water. So if you are not cut, you are okay. Even the splashing, try not to make too much noise. The shark will not bite you. But when you start to bleed, you know, some people are watching in the water and then they cut themselves and then they were bleeding in the water. Look, the sharks came all around. They were just circulated because the blood is what they require. That moves them into action. Oh, yeah. Now, there are some people that need wisdom. They don't need a sign. A sign doesn't move them. That's why God doesn't... Look, the largest churches in America, they are Baptist churches and assemblies of God, just teaching. There's not even one miracle in the church. Huge! When you see the church, huge! Like this 1,000, 10,000 per service, they come and they go. No miracles. There's not even one miracle in the church. So I'm just trying to explain why you see that. I think God may be very urgently trying to do something. No. God is not. God knows that if he can come and raise the dead here, it doesn't mean tomorrow the whole church will be full. It may not be full because the people here don't require that kind of blood. Yeah. Are you there? Yeah. So God is not under whatever. Everybody needs something different. Some people need someone who speaks English. Some people, when they put on the Metro TV and they see those guys, I mean, they just think to themselves, what an idiot is this on television? Some people just insult themselves. I mean, me, when I was preaching one day, one of our church members told me, said, my parents, they were watching you. And I was preaching, you know, like I preach how I'm walking around. You can sit down. I preached, I was walking around talking. He said, the parents said, but is this preaching? Turn off the thing. And they change the channel because I was preaching, you know, talking like this. I'm not saying, you see, no, I was not doing that, just talking because I could say, I could, but I was talking. So they said, is this preaching? Some people require, you see how somebody like Dr. Otabel, he exudes wisdom. I mean, he's a chancellor of a university. And it's like he's built a university full of wisdom. There are people that is what they need. I have not heard of him doing miracles in his church. But that's what people, there are people that require, and you'll be surprised, the people that require wisdom are even more than the people that require the signs. And you see, they have one of the largest churches in the country. Yeah. So, you see, God, he's not under pressure.
What do you think?
Yeah.
And the last point, number six. The chosen method to bring salvation. To bring salvation. And repentance is preaching and not healing. Amen. God has chosen preaching as a method to bring salvation. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. He says, for that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God to save people by the foolishness of preaching. And then in the next verse, he says, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. So this means that everybody has to be a preacher. No matter what signs and wonders you do, you must preach. And I'm happy to see those guys preaching. Yeah, they preach. Kenneth Hagin said something. He told a lot of guys who were doing miracles in his time in the 40s and the 50s. One day he told them, he said, all of you will be gone and I'll still be around because I preach the word. And some of you are just doing signs and wonders, but a time will come, all of you will be gone and I'll still be here. And it happened. All of them died. All of them went off the scene and Kenneth Hagin was the main person still around. Because this, at the center of everything is preaching. One of the reasons why I love the ministry of Reverend Eastwood is because no matter the type of signs and wonders that he does, he preaches the word of God so well, do you understand, that you will be so blessed by the preaching of the word. I mean, after he's preached, he can just go really. And then there are signs and wonders that follow after. But preaching, you see, it has pleased God that people should be saved by preaching. Whenever I have a crusade and I finish preaching, to me, I've finished. I mean, the main thing of what I came there to do. But I must also pray for the sake because I am operating in a world and a realm where they require miracles, signs and wonders. And that is also why I came there. Hallelujah. To demonstrate the power of God. To help them in their faith even more. That is why all of us, that's why Billy Graham became one of the greatest evangelists. No miracles. No tongues. No miracles. Many charismatics have not understood him. Why? Why Billy Graham? Why at the age of 90, he still got the largest crowd in New York City? Why? Not even one miracle. Because you see, what he has is the main thing. With or without miracles, he has the main thing which God has chosen. That by the preaching of the gospel, people should be saved. That's the main thing. It's the main thing. And anyone who wants to last and be blessed, I tell you, there's nothing like preaching. I said, did you hear me? I said, there's nothing like preaching. Think about you. Your mother couldn't change you. Your father couldn't change you. Your teachers couldn't change you. Police couldn't change you. But preaching could change you. Hallelujah. If you expose yourself to preaching tapes, you change. You change. And if, I tell you, I know people who listen to tapes and CDs by talking to them. When I talk to people, I always know. Always. And actually, I even grade my friendships and my relationships by the level at which people listen. Because if I preach and somebody is not bothered to listen to it on a CD, but wants to sit down with me to talk to me, you understand? About what? When I have preached 1,000 different things which can change your life, and you want to sit down with me and talk to me when you've not even bothered. I remember when I first went to Malaysia, the pastor there, you know, he said to me, we're talking, he said he doesn't do counseling anymore, personal counseling. I said, well, what do you do? He said, anybody who has a problem, I ask the person to sit in the church for 6 weeks whilst I preach. And if your problem is not solved after 6 weeks, then you can come for any personal counseling. And it is true. All counseling is the word of God. All counseling is the word of God. Yeah. It's only that we don't want to bother to listen to the counseling and to listen to the word of God that is coming forth. We want to have some quick fix. We say, oh, pastor, can I just see you? Can I just see you? Today, somebody sent me a message. Said, I need to speak to you. I need to speak to you. You know, my marriage. I really have this. Then I sent a message back. I said, what your pastor, I mentioned his name, told you, because I know the things you are doing there. I said, what your pastor told is exactly what I'm going to say. And if you don't listen to him, you are not going to listen to me. I'm not going to add anything sensible to what he has already said to you. And I refuse to call this person or speak to this person. That's a fact. Because God has chosen to save us by preaching. And if the preaching is there, you don't want to expose yourself to it, then what else is going to save you? Salvation comes by preaching. Change comes by preaching. We are transformed by the word of God. That is why we must expose ourselves to the word of God. We must invest in tapes, CDs, macanas, and any other thing that can make you. The more you soak in the word of God, you know, the more you will change. Let me tell you something about human beings. You know, we are so programmed to reject anything negative that is said about us. You know, if I come to you and I tell you are selfish, you'll say, me, selfish. Why do you say I'm selfish? What's the evidence that I'm selfish? Do you know what I do for this? Do you know I do this? I do that, I do that, I do that, I do that. Marriage counseling, you get nowhere. Try counseling couples that are quarreling. You cannot advance. You tell somebody you are wicked. Tell someone you are telling a lie. Even liars, they will say no. So you see, people never believe. So that's why it's preaching that may affect you. I tell you, you are murdered. I say no. Guilty, not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. Did you know that in prison, almost everybody there says, I am not guilty of the crime. And they are even bored. That is why abroad, they don't bother to ask questions. They are not, so they just come with evidence. Based on the evidence, you are guilty. That's all. We don't even need what you say. You will never say anything bad about yourself. You will never accept what is being said. That's why God has chosen preaching. It's the mildest, free, on air form of just trying to speak to you gently. And it's one of my discoveries. People will not accept it. Don't even bother to waste your time trying to show somebody something. Free on air. And that's why we must all put on the tape. And as it comes, we listen. I say, Lord, you are speaking to me quietly in your private place. Hear God telling you what nobody can tell you. In fact, some people have learned not to bother to tell you anything. Because ka kebo echali, you would react right now. One day, I went to a certain church to raise some funds. I was preaching, I finished, I raised funds. A certain lady, I was even new in raising funds, I said, how many of you want to help us to buy instruments for their own church? People raised their hands. One of the people who raised their hand was a white man. A white man in the church. Huh? A white man. When he raised his hand, his wife held, not that they saw, my eyes were open, and I saw her hold his hand and pull it down. So after church, this was a Ghanaian, and the wife was a German. The husband was a German or whatever, some other country. She came to see me and said, "Pastor, you know these white people. I really wanted to give a lot. You know? But you know these white people, how they are. But you don't worry. We'll see what we can do to help the church." That's what she said to me. And I look at the person. Said that you, I saw your hand like this, pulling your husband down. No one else saw, only I saw you were sitting there. And you are telling me that it's the white people, they don't understand these things. It's fantastic. That's why God has chosen preaching to come through the air, and it will minister to you. And it will minister to you. And it will minister to you. And that's why you must expose yourself to preaching. Those of you who are married, you will soon discover that your husband cannot change you and your wife can also not change you. How many have realized that? When your husband says, you don't move. One day I was talking with some people. When I said to them, do this, they did. I said, is that how you behave in the house? They said, no, that's not how we behave in the house. I said, okay. At least you have told the truth, so I've left you. Mercy. God has chosen preaching, I tell you, to change us. Me, I have not been to Bible school. Look at me here preaching to you. How did I get here? How did I become a preacher? How did I become a bishop of over 700 churches? How? How did I become an evangelist with thousands and thousands of people in crusades? How? Did anybody counsel me? Benny Hinn said something one day. I always thought he was Catherine Kuhlman's personal friend. I thought Catherine Kuhlman used to talk to him. He said one day, he said on a DVD, he said, I never spoke to Catherine Kuhlman in my life. He said, I never had a chance to sit with her for her to advise me or tell me what I should do in my ministry. So I just listened to her tapes. That's all I have. He said, she's dead now. I just listened to her tape. That's all I have. Few of us will ever have that personal counseling. God has chosen preaching. God has. That's why he doesn't bother a lot of times to do miracles. Because he has chosen preaching to change you, to save me, to save all of us. He has chosen preaching. 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 God has chosen preaching. It said that it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching. I tell you, there is treasure out there that can make you a wise man. Recently, I was with a certain businessman, and he was talking to me, and he said, some people have a special gift of business that when they touch it, it becomes great. I mean, a lot. I said, really? I don't think people have just what they do. He said, oh, he thinks that somebody like me, and he was talking about me, he said, I think you have some special business something. I said, me? Me, I'm a pastor. You see, but his eyes opened. Whatever I have or I do from preaching. You will not see me studying how to economics and all this. I don't know. I only know the Bible. Preaching, 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 preaching. If I'm a businessman, if I've been able to build a worldwide church in 50 countries, worth millions of dollars, it's by preaching. God chose preaching to change me. I haven't been to economics school. When we were buying our church in England, the bank manager asked, who is your consultant? Who is your advisor? When he saw certain things, he said, wow, who is your consultant? Who is your advisor? Advisor? Consultant? Yeah. Preaching changes you. Preaching helps you. Preaching can do a lot for you. Preaching.
preaching the same preaching over and over. I said, God has told us something that looks foolish, and truly it is foolish. Recently, we're trying to get some missionaries to Zimbabwe. They told us, look, number one, pastors are not welcome. We don't want pastors. A directive from the government, no pastors. That's why up to today, we don't have the missionaries that we really want to be there. We can't enter. In this country, they'll say, pastor, because as far as they are concerned, pastor is a fool. He's not bringing anything sensible to come and contribute. We have enough pastors and enough churches. You go to the university, you see godless chancellors and vice chancellors and other deans of whatever rising up to clamp down on churches and clamp down on churches in schools. And they say that the church is what is preventing the people from doing well. When you have 16 people in a room that is meant for one person, and you say that the church is what is preventing people from doing well. When you have a lecture that should have had 80 people, it has 1,550 people in a lecture. Is it a miracle service or a lecture? You have to ask yourself. But people, you see, foolish preaching looks foolish. That's why people say to me, Dad, you have stopped working and you are preaching. You have stopped working and you are doing what? Preaching. It's like you have stopped working and you are doing something what? Foolish. And it amazes the world when they see people coming to church. They say, why are people coming? Why are people giving their money for this thing? Why? How can they be so stupid? They don't understand. Preaching changes people. Preaching is a wild thing. It's a weapon. God has anointed preaching. That's why when you come to church and you sit in the church week after week, by all means, by all means, by all means, by all means, something will change in you. That's why one of the favorite questions of a pastor is, have you come into church? Did you come? Will you come? Come. Because we want them to come and listen to us preaching. Preaching changes. It's God's method. You want something from me, not my money, not my house, my preaching. That's the best part of me. That's why years ago the Lord instructed me, get all your camp preachings into the Makane and prepare it like that. At first it wasn't like that. At first you find and say, oh, this is the camp at Legon. They say, oh, this is the camp at Tech. This was the camp we did at Girl Guides. That's how we used to do it. Oh, this was the American, the first one. But then we labeled them, gave everyone a name, arranged it all, prepared it, because God showed me this is the best part of your ministry. It's your camp preachings. If somebody wants to be blessed, it's the camp. And when people listen, one university student, architecture student, he said, I decided not to listen to that thing again. He said, because if I listen to it, I'll leave my profession. I've realized that I will become full-time. Because he said, when I listen to it, I cannot help myself. So I've decided that I will not listen to it, because if I listen to it, I will change. Preaching is wild, though. I can show you people today who are missionaries, who are full-time. They will point to you the camp that their life changed. He said, I was sitting there. No miracle, no sign, no wonder. They were just there at the camp. Then they said, from today, I don't like my work again. I don't like anything again. Only thing I want is God. I'm going to work for God. It's amazing. It's a wild thing. Preaching is wild, though. Tell somebody, preaching is wild. Somebody say, are you on drugs? You tell the person, no, I'm on preaching. I'm not on drugs, I'm on preaching. When they ask you, which cigarette do you smoke? I smoke preaching. Preaching. I smoke Makane. When they ask you, you smoke Tosca for men or 555, you tell them, I smoke Makane. It's called Makane, that's what I smoke. When they ask you, which drugs do you take? Tell them, I take Makane upgrade. I smoke upgrade. When I was in secondary school, there was a certain guy, we used to call him Tosca. Do you know why? Because he doesn't smoke Rothmans. He doesn't smoke 555. He doesn't smoke Embassy. He smoked what we call Tosca for men. There is no filter. That was a cigarette without filter. Direct.
And his lips were black, and we call him Tosca because he smokes Tosca for men. We have Makane for men, Makane for missionaries, Makane for anointed ones. Upgrade, upgrade. And we're just about to release the Poimano. Poimano. Preaching is wild, though. You now look at your life. Look at how you are. One of the greatest miracles is to see a gang quarreling person change by the powers of preaching. Hey! Because few things can change them. I have met sisters who say, look, I am so different from my family. The way we are. I am the coolest person in the house. All of us are so wild, but I am the coolest. It's the power of preaching. So when you come, they ask, so what have you taken? What are you on? You see, what are you on? Because everybody's altered behavior is because of something they are taking. Ask your neighbor, what are you on? What are you on? You see, some of you are on Joy FM. Some of you are on Radio Gold. Some of you are on Peace FM. That's why your life is not changing. Some of you are on reggae music. BBC. BBC cannot change you. GBC cannot change you. Yeah. Nigerian movies. Preaching is wild. Preaching is wild. God has chosen preaching. Of all the things that I have been involved with in my life, I know what the thing God has chosen is my preaching. I'm telling you, look, on Sunday we were standing here. Amazing miracles that cannot be explained by anybody. What happening here? We were just, and many of you were surprised. You said, hey, is it happening here? Because you were already doubting before we started the service. But even though all those miracles have happened, where are the people? Why are there not people outside on the car park or Phil or here? Why do you think people have come to preaching? Been preaching every Tuesday for some years. Tuesday preaching. I preach here, prodigals. What's that message? Delusions. Do you remember delusions? Yeah. Go listen to it. Delusions. That's where we saw Sinyanzo, Parabeno, and some other words. What is your father thinking that he's not saying? I preach here, my time, your time, and the time. My time, your time, and the time. Tuesday, do you remember? What other have I preached on Tuesday? Pharaoh. And in the presence of devils. I preach about in the presence of devils. Jesus, the family man. Jesus, the carpenter. Jesus, this. Jesus, Jesus. Christ and his estimate of a soul. I preach many messages here on Tuesday. Huh? John, why are you crying? Burning fire. Yeah. You know, I've preached. Preaching changes people. People are surprised. You go to church again? Boy, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. No girlfriend, no boyfriend. What are you on? What are you taking? What are you eating? Makane. And Poimano is coming. And then another one is coming called Optazio. Yeah, preaching is wild, though.
Look, put it on in your house. Those of you who don't have CD player, tape player, I don't want to say that you are a fool. I'll just minimize to say that you are not wise. You are not wise. You have not exposed yourself to God's weapon. Yeah. Don't marry somebody who doesn't listen to tapes. Don't marry the person, no matter how he looks and what he dressed, what car he drives to church. Don't marry. He doesn't listen to tape. Then it means that the weapon that God has chosen to change him, he has put it aside. How is he going to change in the future? When he marries and his somewhere behavior comes, how is he going to change? Let me show you. If I met two girls, I don't need to marry, but if I had to marry and I met two sisters, one prays a lot and one listens to preaching, I would choose the one who listens to preaching rather than the one who prays. But the one who doesn't listen, the mind is unyielding, stubbornness and other confusions are in the mind, even though she's praying to God. I'll choose the one who listens to preaching first. Who pray? You don't listen to CD. You don't listen to tape. One day I saw a pastor who wanted to preach better. His preaching was not working. He'll go and preach and then they'll say, your preaching is not good. It's very discouraging to preach. And then somebody tells you, you didn't preach well. I realized that only one thing that he lacks, doesn't listen. You reading and you don't listen is different. The difference between those who read and those who listen, that those who listen, they change a lot. Those who read are deeper than those who listen. Yeah. The first change comes from listening. The readers are deeper, even deeper than the listeners. Oh, yeah. So when you're talking to somebody who is very deep, see, a person reads usually, reads as well as listens, but reads also. So there's a difference. Then those who don't listen at all, you see, they are shallow. They're little. So, Bishop, how was your journey? Okay. So how is Sister Mommy? So, and how Joshua, David, Daniela? So they are fine. So how is the church? How is Bishop Saki? So they are fine. That's all they can say. They have nothing else to say. That's the end of their. That's the end of our conversation. Finish. Finish. There's nothing else. There's nothing deeper. If I talk with you beyond the setting after joking and laughing, what else are you talking about? Do you know that sometimes when I travel for crusades, we don't put on even the cassette, even the music player from here for 12 hours. Meetings from Accra to the north. Dr. Go, is it not true? It does not even occur to us that let's put music to listen to music. There's not even, we haven't even had that. We are discussing serious issues. Yeah. Serious issues. If I sit with you for 11 hours, what will we talk about? One day I went somewhere with a certain brother. After I was there with the brother for some time, I realized that this brother is not deep. And I realized that I should be careful when I speak. Because when I speak in the presence of somebody who is not deep, he will not even understand what I'm saying. Yeah. And I realized it's very dangerous to be with such a person. Because you say something, the person will even think you are gossiping. Because when a doctor is talking about a patient with another colleague doctor to get the person cured, he's not gossiping about something. He's working. It is his work to discuss it. If he discusses, you'll be better off. But I realized that as a pastor, I was talking to somebody who was not at that level. I said, very dangerous. Yeah. Preaching to change you, shallow sister. Shallow brother. Shallow brother. You want to be rich? Look at me. I don't preach riches. I'm richer than many people. Look at me closely.
Yeah. Look at the ministry that I'm the head of closely. You want to be rich? You are saying you are doing what business? You need wisdom. Eh? You say you are doing what business? Not that I'm not doing business. I can help you. Who are saying you are doing business? You say you are into banking and whatnot. Recently, I went somewhere. I met a certain brother. He was into high things. And I told him something God showed me. I said, you will not be rich this way. This will not give you riches. Recently, he called me. He said, Bishop, when you left, I lost half of everything I had. It just vanished. He said, what you said is that I've seen that it is true. I said, me, I have not been to your school and I don't know what you do. I don't even know what you do at your workplace. I said, this thing, you will not be rich that way. Time and time, one day, a certain top businessman, he came to me and said, I wish I had listened to you some years ago. He said, I feel ashamed to say that you were right. From where? Preaching, oh, preaching. 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 Mike Murdoch said something. He said, developing countries, they laugh at America. They burn American flags. They make coffins of American presidents. And they mock us. And they mock our wisdom. But they want our riches. And he said, you will never have something that you mock and you don't respect. You want the riches that somebody has. You need the wisdom that, because the wisdom that leads to the riches. And when you don't expose yourself to the preaching, you never expose yourself to the wisdom that brings that riches. Yeah. You see this building here? It may cost about $15 million that we are standing in here. Can you raise a church and build a building with $100,000 or $50,000? I'm talking of $15 million. You mock. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen to a CD. You wouldn't listen to a Makene. But you want the riches that come from the wisdom. You burn the flag. You put it aside. You throw the Makene. You dissociate yourself from whatever. You call yourself a boss, but you don't listen. And you want the riches and the blessing that wisdom has brought. You want the growth and the increase that it has brought. But you don't want the wisdom that brings it. That's what Mike Murdoch said. He said, they mock our wisdom. They mock us. They burn our flag. But they want our money. The whole world wants to go to America. We laugh at them. But we want to go there and be there and get what they have. But we don't want the wisdom that has given them. The wisdom that made them build trains. 200 years ago, they laid tracks. We cannot lay any track from Accra to Kumasi. He said, I'm taking a train to Kumasi. Charlie, I'm going to Tamale. I'll take a train. It's 3 hours. I'll leave at 9. I'll be there at 12. There's nothing like that in Ghana. And there will not be for many, many years to come. Because the wisdom that brings it. If you reject it, you will never have the thing. That is why in this world, there will never be equality in wealth. Some people will be very rich and many will be poor. You know why? Because Jesus said it. He said, he that has, to him more shall be given. He that has not, the small one that he has, it shall be taken away from him. There is nothing like equality. All over the world, every time we have tried to make all of us the same, it has ended in disaster. That's communism. You can't have all of us. Because not everybody is prepared to have the wisdom. If we share wealth, right now, if we take an offering, share it to everybody. And every offering we take, we share. Everybody take 10 cities. Everybody go home. You'll see that those who are rich will still be rich and those who are poor will still be poor. Because the wisdom that you need, that will bring the riches, if you don't get it, you cannot even hold money. Wait. I was in Malaysia. I was with some pastors. They were shocked. Do you know why they were shocked? Malaysia was independent at the same time that Ghana was independent. 1957. You should see the place. You reject the wisdom, you do not have the riches. You want the dollars, but what brings the dollars? You want to be anointed. You want to be a pastor. You want to be whatever, but what brings it? You will not subject yourself to it over and over and over and over again. Do you know how many hours I've listened to Benny Hinn preaching? Benny Hinn. Do you know how many hours I have devoted myself to soaking in his preaching, because I'm into healing evangelism now. You see what I'm doing on stage? That's healing miracle service. You can't get there if you don't have the wisdom that gets there. You can laugh at him. You see, people laugh. I heard one pastor in Ghana say, "Oh, Benny Hinn. Oh, yeah, who mystical be too many mystical things. You can't say, Holy Spirit. He was laughing. Today he's a renegade pastor somewhere with no congregation. You laugh at someone, laugh at the wisdom. You will never have what the person has. Laugh at Benny Hinn. You laugh at Bonke. You will never have what God has given to them. Because you mock the wisdom and you despise it. I have pastors, they listen to preaching just to preach, but not to receive wisdom for themselves. One day a certain pastor told his children, said to me, one of our parents, he only listens to preaching when he's going to preach, but the other parent listens to preaching, but this one only to preach. Something you put in and then regurgitate. How can it affect you? God has chosen preaching. God has definitely chosen. I know. Me, I haven't been to any Bible. I don't earn money because I'm a doctor. I am not what I am because I'm a medical, or because I studied medical school. That I did it for 7 years. But because of what I studied in the ministry, that the wisdom that God has given me, I've written books. That's one of the books I'm preaching to you from. I don't feel so. I preach from my books. That's all I preach from, but you wouldn't bother to study it. So I preach from the wisdom that God has given. That wisdom has given me that I've seen miracles upon miracles. That people follow me for miracles. Me, Dag, when I started, they were mocking me. They said, "Dag, he doesn't have power." Hope. That when we started our program, Miracle Days are here. One pastor in Accra, he's made fun. He said, "But Miracle Days, where did the miracle go?" That he says, "Miracle Days have now come." That where did they go? That he says they have come. He doesn't have power. He doesn't have miracles. Now that he says miracle days are here. That's the comment that he made about me. You should see all of them today, where they are. Keep laughing, brother. Preaching changes people. And I see people and I can see this one. He's a person who's soaking preaching upon preaching upon preaching upon preaching. Yeah. So, you know, that's the last point in this reasons why God does not heal. Is that God has chosen preaching as a form and a way to change and to save people. And you just have to accept it. And you just have to expose yourself. Now, I see a vision of somebody lying down on the floor praying. But you haven't turned on the tape recorder or the CD player. And the Lord is saying, start to put it on whilst you pray. You shall be changed whilst you pray when you put it on whilst you pray. Do not pray and later put it on, but put it on. Lie down in his presence and pray. But whilst you pray, use the weapon that God has chosen to change and to save. Preaching. Let it be a river that flows through you, through you, through you, through you. Do not reject the wisdom that makes rich and that brings many blessings. For that wisdom will make you what you never imagined you could be, or make you have what you could never imagine you would have. I see another person. You are sitting in the office all alone with a computer, and the Spirit is saying, put on the preaching whilst you work. I will bless you whilst you work. I will heal you whilst you work. I will touch you whilst you work. I see somebody else riding a bicycle or a car or motorcycle or something. The Spirit is saying, where are your earphones? Where are your earphones? Where are your earphones? My friend, my son, where are your earphones? Where are they? What has become of your earphones? For if you had exposed yourself whilst you were working,
out there in the field, you would have changed and have been healed and have been blessed. You need not have waited for a special time. This is what the Spirit is saying. Wherever you go, take that weapon with you. Many years ago, I was driving to Suhum. My father bought me a car, and I was driving to Suhum. What did I do? I borrowed from my beloved a tape recorder. And I went to Lord J's shop at Action Center Airport, diplomatic shop. And I bought myself tapes, preaching. I had bought the best thing in the world. The best. The best. The best I could ever have ever purchased with my money was that tape that I bought. Because when I soaked in that tape down in Suhum, God blessed me with something that carried me all over the world. Recently, I was in a city called, what's the name of that? Dag Hammarskjöld. Jönköping in Sweden. That is where Dag Hammarskjöld was born, and that is where he lived. There was a small statue and little plaque there. As I walk into a hotel where the Nobel Peace Prize is given every year, and I was shown this is where the Nobel Prize is given, this grand hotel. As I walk in there for dinner with other dignitaries, I was not entering because of medical certificates or my O level or A level, but because of something that came into me at a tape. Sit down, wait. When I entered a board meeting in Stockholm in Sweden recently, an Indian man came to me and said, you know, do you know that you are coming to India to come and minister? We have a very large ministry. He said, when I heard you preaching in Indonesia, I said to myself, this is the man that I'm looking for. Preaching? Where did I learn to preach? I bought a tape. My best investment so far. My best thing that I ever bought for my beloved. The tape recorder. Come on now. We talk of valuables. Your valuables. Someone said, my valuables. Do you know what's a valuable? Do you know what is a valuable? I'm talking of something that is valuable. Ha. 2 weeks ago, a man invited me to a huge church in America. He said, I need you to preach in my church when you come to Louisiana. I'm going to Louisiana. Church Growth Club, I've been invited to preach. He said, I need you to preach. I told my secretary, tell him, I can't come. I'm busy. Too busy. Have you been invited to another country before to preach? To huge churches with a lot of American money. And you tell them, I can't. Not because, but I don't want to go and I can't go. And I'm going to have a crusade. And I can change all that if I want to, but I don't want to change it. What wisdom do you have? What has it given you? You mock me. You see, you mock me and you mock the wisdom that God has given me when you despise the Makanes and other preachers from other churches come and stand here and tell us that they know more about me than any of our lighthouse pastors. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah, they stand here and they say, we know more about you. And they say, I know you, I know you, I know you, I know you. Is it not fantastic? Remember what Mike Meadows said? It's the last thing you can remember. When I heard him say that, I was surprised. He said, developing country. He didn't say Africa. He said developing. They mock America. They burn American flag. They cheer. They make coffins of their presidents. They burn it. But they want our money. You burn our flag and our wisdom, the stars and the stripes, the unitedness of the states. You burn it. But you want dollar. Burn the dollar. Do you know what makes America rich? That they stand outside and see the moon. We are going there and we'll come back next week. We cannot come here to Tamale. So, if you want somebody's riches, get his wisdom. Because
get wisdom, she will bring you to riches and to honor. Father, I thank you for your blessing for these people. Everyone here shall experience your healing and your blessing in his life from preaching. And I thank you today for what you have done, your great blessing. Father, give us a new heart, not to bend the flags and the wisdom of that leads to wealth and riches, but rather to open our hearts to preaching, to wisdom that you bring to our lives. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here tonight, you are not a born-again Christian, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me, I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray. Your first wisdom is to give your life to Jesus and to for your sins to be washed away by the blood of Jesus. If you are here like that, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me, I want to give my life to Jesus. Lift up your right hand now. Just your right hand up high. Just your right hand. Lift it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lift it up high. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted your hand, come to me. There's a lady here. Listen, there's a lady here. You need to give your life to Christ today. Come now. I want to pray with you now. Come. If you lifted your hand, just walk to the front quickly. There is a lady. Please, come today and be saved. Everybody stand, please, as we close. We are just about to close. Come. There is a lady here. You need to give your life to God. Please listen to me. I don't know whether you're going to die soon or something, but just come. Stand here, brother. Stand. Quickly. You want to give your life to God now. Okay, lift your hand, everybody. Let's pray. Say with me, Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight. Please forgive me for my sins. From today, I give my heart, I give my life, I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Oh God, please wash away my sins. Please wash away my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. God bless you. Let's go with our pastor here. All right. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Good, good. How many are blessed tonight with preaching? Okay. Okay, okay, good. We're just about to close. But we are going to take an offering first. Amen. 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 How many were not able to come on Sunday night? Give me a wave. Oh, most of you. Okay. Good, good, good. Father, I thank you for such an honor. Hey, preaching can put you in places. Oh. Shambele masandala baba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And above all, one day when it's all over, next step, you'll be at the highest place. And you say, because of preaching, look at where I am. Amen. I'm so glad God made me a preacher. In it. In it. In it. When I say in it, say in it. In it. In it. Father, touch your people tonight as they give offerings. Bless supernaturally in Jesus' name. Amen. I want people to give 20 Ghana cedis as a special offering. Listen, listen, listen. It's not, I'm not starting at 20, 10, 5, this. No. Tonight, I want you to give 20 Ghana cedis as a special offering. It's a prophetic one. And I'll take the offering after that. So just 20. Believe God to sow a special seed of 20 seeds. I'll pray for you specially. Even if you don't want my prayer, it doesn't matter, but it's a special offering of 20 CDs tonight. If you don't believe it, don't come. If you believe it, come. Now, all right, with 20 CDs and put it in here. All right. Okay, just put an offering. You know something? I want us to be faster tonight than we have ever been. So just believe God and... Oh, I wanted to... 20 CDs tonight. Believe God. Amen, 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 amen. What color is 20? Blue. Believe God tonight to sow a special seed of 20 CDs. And I know that your life is never going to be the same. Where is she? Thank you, Jesus. How many believe Jesus can heal you tonight? How many know the presence of the Lord is here? Oh, yeah. Those of you who are giving 20 CDs, I told you I'm going to pray with you. So I don't know why you're going so far away, you know, because I'm going to pray for all of you especially. 20 CDs. Oh, is that all? Okay, come, let me just pray for you because I feel I want to pray for you. If you want my prayer, come, I'll pray with you. Okay. If you want my prayer, you come. The Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Come for my availing much prayer. And I pray for righteousness by the blood. Lift your hands. Father, whatever they couldn't do before, help them to accomplish it from today onwards or tomorrow. I pray in Jesus' name for your blessing. Whatever they couldn't do before. My God, thank you. 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 Whatever they couldn't do before, that is all. That is all. That is all. That is all. I am asking and I am receiving and I'm thanking you. Whatever they couldn't do before, let them be able to do it from today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Well, I'm glad that I obeyed the Holy Spirit because this is a whatever you couldn't do before. You can do it from now. I don't know what it is. Maybe something physical, something spiritual. Maybe you can never get a visa, never go here, never do this, never marry, never this, never that, whatever. You can do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now let me take an offering. Give me. We are now going to take an offering. So far, I have not received an offering. Amen. Some of us tonight are going to give 100 CDs, 50 CDs, 20 CDs, amen, as offerings, amen. You know, on Sunday, I was sharing whilst I was taking the offering that I'm receiving an offering for something, not for, to support a crusade. Tonight, I am receiving an offering now. I want to be led by the Spirit when I'm taking offerings. Amen. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. So, I want us to flow and give supernaturally. Amen.
Amen.
100 CDs, 50 CDs, 20 CDs, or 10 CDs. Come and put it in the basket now. Now, some of you should give 20, some of you should give 50, some of you should give 100 or 10 also. Come in the basket quickly, quickly, quickly. 20, 50,
Maybe you gave 20, but you can give 20 again. Come. If you believe, come. If you don't believe, don't come. I beg you. Don't do things you don't believe, please. Father, bless these ones. Wow. Somebody give me some oil. Where's grace? Strength. Thank you, Jesus. Quickly, quickly. 100 cities, 50 cities, 20 cities. This lady to me. Quickly come. 10 cities. 20 cities. No, no, no. Gently. Gently, please. What are you doing? Where did you train? Father, thank you for your blessing. Jesus, let every storm in your life become. I say become. In Jesus' name. Sing it. All those who are part of this offering, come, come again. I want to pray if you want my prayer. But if not, if it's too far, don't come. Come. Give me some oil. If you don't want your shirt to be affected by oil, please don't come. Maybe you are in a very important suit work in your office, and then after it will be spoiled. Please go back to your seat if you are in that category. But if not, lift up your hand and let me pray with you. I feel an anointing of oil. Riches of oil. Lift your hand. Father, I'm praying for my members to become millionaires. Receive the grace of a millionaire. In the name of Jesus. Receive it. Be blessed. Now, I see favor. Thank you. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your blessing. Give it to me. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take it. You are changing by the grace and the anointing. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Anoint her hands, Lord. Be blessed. Millionaires, receive it. Receive it. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Hold this one. Careful. Father, thank you. Healing. Healing. Be blessed. Lift your hands and just thank the Lord right now. Thank God. Father, thank you for this blessing. In Jesus' name. Make him a millionaire, Lord. You never intended it. Receive it. Be blessed. What you couldn't do, you can do it. What you couldn't do, 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 what you couldn't do. Let God give you the strength, the strength, the strength, the strength, the strength. Bless. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Okay, you may go back to your seat. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Okay. All right. I want us to give more offerings. Amen. Please, if you don't believe in offering what I'm doing, just be quiet and then go to your house. If you don't like it, don't give. That's all. But if you believe, you give. Is it okay with you? How many believe? Can I see the believers? That's it. Now, 5 cedis. Believe God to give 5 cedis tonight. Come. I'm waiting for you here. When you come, don't go back or you waste time. Come with 5 cedis. Put it in the basket. And stay here. Let's pray. I'm praying for your prosperity. As you give offering, I'm praying for you to prosper. Come. Don't say that. You never know. I may not pray for those with 2 cedis and 1 cedi. So there's 5 cedis offering. Give. Believe God. 5 cedis is $5. It's actually $4 and some. It's nothing. You give it and let's pray. Sow a seed and prosper. Expect a miracle. I expect a miracle. Put it in this thing and let me pray for you. I'm praying for you. Listen. I'm praying for you to have cars. Yeah. I'm praying for you to have houses that you have built yourself. Do you believe what I'm saying? Yeah. That's all I'm praying for. Lift your hands up. Wait, put your offering in first. Who hasn't put your offering in? Look, if you want a job, go back. I'm not praying for a job. I'm praying for car and house. These are the only 2 things I'm praying for. If you want a job, go back. This is not a prayer for a job or healing. It's for car and house. That is what I feel anointing to pray for. Listen, look at me, those of you in front. Do you know that riches is houses? Yeah. If you don't have a house, you are not rich. No matter how much you earn, no matter how hard you work, if you don't have a house, you have not even started. So I'm praying for these 2 things. House, that's why it's called real estate. It's real. It's the only thing that is real. The rest is not real. Raise your hand. You feel you are poor, but you will be rich. Lift your hand. Remember tonight. I said remember tonight because I'm seeing you in the future. Father, give me the oil. Bless. Bless. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Take it now. It's flowing. Ah, Kinama Shamba. I work miracles of houses and cars. In Jesus' name. Kambala, Tabalaka, Kebarabara. Receive miracles of houses and cars. You have it. I said, you have it. 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 In Jesus' name. Take it. 1. Miracle of the house. Somebody like you. Where do you come from to build a house? Receive it in Jesus' name. Where do you come from to build a house? May God bless you. May you drive cars and never suffer in buses. Trotro. In Jesus' name, you are loose from every tenchema car of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, the time of asking for lift and walking has come to an end. By the grace of God, by the power of God. Receive a car, receive a house. In Jesus' name. Father, foxes have holes. Foxes have holes. How much more your servants? Give your servants a house. Give your servants a house. Give your servants a house. I pray in the name of Jesus. And cars to move from their houses. From with their cars. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus. Lift your hand. Take in a deep breath. Receive it now. It's flowing. It's flowing. Shiba. 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 Kaba. Saba. Pala. Lay foundation. Put on your roof in Jesus' name. Collect light. Build a septic tank. In Jesus' name. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Come. God right now. It has happened.
In Jesus' name.
Everybody, I feel anointing for house has come. Stand up on your feet and lift your hand. In the church. In the church. Lift your hand and believe God for a house. Pray for a house right now. God is giving you a house. A house. Father, thank you for a house. Thank you for a house. A house. A house. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank God. Introduce yourself to your neighbor. I'm a house owner, John Osei Kofi, John Newton. So, house owner, number this, and mention your name. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. You may go back to your seat. Okay, now, bonanza time, time of bonanza blessings. Do you know what is a razzmatazz? Do you know what is a razzmatazz? I'll tell you what is a razzmatazz. Something that makes noise and draws attention. God is going to give you prosperity that makes noise and draws attention. Razzmatazz. Take out your razzmatazz offering. Two CDs. Two CDs. Offering. Two CDs. It's what I call tonight a razzmatazz offering. And bring it to the front now. Come. Two Ghana CDs. It makes noise and draws attention. Two Ghana CDs. Come. I have time for you. If you have time, I have time. Do you have time for yourself? I said, do you have time for yourself? Come, two Ghana CDs. Razzmatazz offering. Please put it in and stand here. Lift your hands. Father, for a razzmatazz offering. Bless these ones and let their offering lead them to a prosperity that attracts attention and makes noise in town. Anoint them specially tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. God has given you a razzmatazz harvest. Now, the last offering, one Ghana city. One Ghana city. One Ghana city. Come. Quickly. Don't waste time at all. That's the last coming forward for tonight. We are not coming forward for coins. We are coming forward for one city. Change it. Say something else. Have you put your offering in? Now tell your neighbor, if you are sitting by somebody who hasn't gotten up yet, introduce yourself as a policeman of the church who is doing investigations into people who don't sow seeds and want to be blessed. All right. One Ghana city. Lift your hands. Father, thank you for these ones who are here. Oh, Jesus, bless and take their life from 1 to 1,000. I pray for blessing. They who were called poor and they who were called nothing shall be called rich, and they shall be called something. For their offering shall make noise and draw much blessing and harvest. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go back to your seat. Finally, we cannot go without receiving gold and silver coins. And everybody should take out something which is a coin. Preferably 2 coins, because only 1 coin does not make enough noise. I need 2 coins to make the sound. If you have 3, it's better. But when you have 1 coin and you shake it, we don't hear anything. And we need to hear something. Is that not so, Grace? Yes. Tell somebody preaching is powerful. You sit there and keep laughing at us because we are preachers. So you'll be surprised. Can I hear the sound? At least 2 coins. Now, you see, wait. Excuse me. Some of you think that, are we children? Are we children? Do not take out a coin if you are thinking that. Do not take out. Sit there as an important person and don't take out any coin. It's between me and my sheep. I'm telling my sheep, remove coins and shake it. That's all. If you are my sheep, remove coins, shake it, and let's hear. Can I hear at the back? The big shots at the back, everywhere. Okay. If you don't have coins, ask for your neighbor. Neighbor, I don't know you, but I need coins. All right. Father, thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.